Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A pastor friend of mine tells the story of when she was serving a small country church a while back. One morning, she was listening to the prelude, and as pastors sometimes do, she took count of who was in the congregation. There were some visitors, probably family members of some of the members, and then there were most of the regulars. As they moved into the call to worship and then the opening hymn, out of the windows at the rear of the sanctuary, she could see a station wagon drive into the parking lot and park. She knew who that station wagon belonged to. It was a family of five, two parents and three rambunctious kids. She watched for them to get out of the car and come in, but they didn't. Meanwhile, worship continued, and the car just sat there. And then, just as my friend was about to get up to preach, the car pulled out of the parking lot and drove away. Now, be honest. How many of you have done that very same thing? No? Or maybe you didn't even make it to the car, let alone the church parking lot. Sometimes it's just too hard to get it together. You didn't have time to do your laundry, so you have no clean clothes to wear. The kids won't put their shoes on, or they won't quit fighting. You and your partner just had a huge argument, and the last thing you want to do is sit next to them and singing Kumbaya and pretend that everything is fine. Ah, yes, we've all had those mornings, or weeks, or years. We all have stuff that we're dealing with, whether it's stuff of our own making or the curveballs that life sends our way. And sometimes it's just easier to stay in the car or stay at home rather than show up with all of our baggage. I'll be honest. There was a season in my life not too long ago when going to church felt like a huge chore. Putting on nice clothes, putting a smile on my face, pretending that I was happy to be there, it just felt like too much. And if it hadn't been for the fact that it is my job to be at church, I probably wouldn't have made it out the door. But where did we get this notion that we have to have it all together before we can show up at church? Who says that we have to be wearing clean clothes? Who says that the kids have to have both of their shoes on? Who says that we can't be harboring some resentment for a loved one when we get here? Where did we get this idea that we have to check our baggage at the door? Somewhere along the way, for many of us, putting on our Sunday best began to mean covering up our warts and scars, whether they're literal or figurative. And yet, I don't think that's what Jesus ever intended for his church. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. He didn't say, blessed are those who have it all together. Blessed are those who look good and feel good. Blessed are those who are healthy, wealthy, and wise. Sometimes I think the Beatitudes are read as if they're a prescription for individuals to be happy. In fact, you may have read translations that say, happy are the peacemakers. But the Beatitudes were actually written in the indicative mood rather than the imperative mood. For those of you who don't remember the ins and outs of grammar, I had to look it up. That means that Jesus isn't telling us what to do so much as he is describing the objective reality of the Christian community. He's telling us what the community of faith is like. In other words, the community of faith is made up of people who are merciful, who are pure in heart, who are peacemakers, who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it is also made up of people who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek, and who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Christian community is made up of people who struggle, who long for a day when things will be better. In a recent sermon, pastor and author Nadia Boltz-Weber said that she likes to imagine Jesus standing around us and offering us lavish blessings, new blessings like these. She says, Blessed are they who doubt, those who aren't sure, those who can still be surprised. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are the motherless, the alone, the ones from whom so much has been taken. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who no one else notices. Blessed are the losers, the babies, and the parts of ourselves that are so small. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are the refugees. Blessed are the foster kids and trophy kids and special ed kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved. Friends, this is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, you and me, all of us together. And we hurt sometimes, and we struggle sometimes, and we can't always get it together, and yet Jesus calls us blessed. Blessed can mean happy, but it also means well-being and peace and salvation. It's not a blessedness in that everything's perfect right now, because it's not, and I don't think that we need to pretend that it is. Instead, it's a blessedness that offers healing and hope in the midst of our very real struggles. After all, the one offering the blessing knows what it is to doubt, to grieve, and to suffer. It's a blessedness that points to the future, that reminds us that our struggles will not last forever, that God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. And it's a blessedness that reminds us that we're not alone. Recently, I was at a fundraiser for a ministry, and on each of the tables throughout the room were porcelain elephants. As one of the speakers explained, these figurines represented all of the real elephants in the room that day, the things that people struggle with that they keep to themselves. Their hope, the speaker said, was to help people name those elephants so that they didn't have to suffer in silence. Isn't that what the church should be about? So often we try to hide or minimize what we're going through, but this is exactly the place where we should be able to talk about these things. This is exactly the place where we should find safe spaces to name our elephants and caring and compassionate people who will honor our stories, who will keep confidences, and who will pray for us. Francesca Battistelli is a Christian singer and songwriter who recently released a new song called If We're Honest. Listen to some of the words. I'm a mess, and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do is bring your brokenness, and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest. If we're honest. Friends, let's be honest. Let's be honest with our hurts and hang-ups, our fears and failures, our inadequacies and our insecurities. Let's be honest about all of who we are. Is it scary? You bet. We all know what can happen when we're vulnerable with people who don't honor the sacredness of our sharing. But when we're brave enough to show up and be honest in a safe place, we give others permission to do the same. And God has called West End United Methodist Church to be one safe place. God has called us to be a community of faith where we listen without judgment, where we offer care and encouragement, where we support one another and pray for one another. This already happens in so many Sunday school classes and Bible studies and covenant discipleship groups. It happens in our choirs and in 12-step groups. And it happens one-on-one between friends and with clergy. And if it hasn't happened for you here, I hope that you will reach out to one of us. Because we want this to be a safe place for everyone. And sometimes we all need a gentle reminder that we are the ones whom Jesus called blessed. Reverend Ray Buckley is a member of the Lakota Native American tribe. He describes one of the seven sacred rites of the Lakota people in which familial relationship is extended to others. This making of relatives, as it is called, is not done recklessly or carelessly, but it's done with great reverence because it's understood to be a sacred responsibility. Buckley says, one assumes the care of, responsibilities for, and love of the ones who they have adopted. Thereafter, they are truly related. It's not a we are like sisters relationship, but rather a we are sisters relationship. Buckley goes on to describe what this looks like. It's a traditional setting, he says. I am standing in front of you so that you are able to see my face and my person. I say to you, I am standing with you. See, there is nothing between you and me. In this moment, for this day, we will call each other standing with nothing between. I know your belovedness, not perfection or even rightness, belovedness, embraced by the one which, having all, knowing all, chooses to love you, the oil from your hands, the texture of your hair, the sound of your voice in your language. I recognize and need the belovedness for my spiritual growth. It is the beginning of seeing each other through the eyes of God. We have agreed that we are in this for good, completely together in prayer. Like God, I have scratched your name upon the palm of my hand as a sign of how much I have chosen to love you. Friends, over the next several weeks, we're going to practice naming some of the elephants in the room. We're going to practice being honest. Some brave folks are going to stand before us and share their stories, and I know that you will recognize their belovedness and receive their stories with love and grace. Over the next several weeks, we're going to practice showing up, warts and scars and all. And we're going to remember that we are the body of Christ, you and me, all of us together. We are standing with nothing between people, not perfect, not without our struggles, but always beloved and always blessed. May we always remember who we are. Amen.